Brilliant. Thank you very much. Please grab your seats. We are going to have a look at God's Word now. And so if you are an adult and you would like a Bible but don't currently have one, please put your hand in the air and someone will gladly come and bring it to you. We are going to be reading from Matthew chapter 9, looking at verses 9 to 13. Boys and girls, at the front, everything that you will need will be in front of you. So the words will appear on the screen for you to follow through and read through. That's Matthew 9 on page 973. And what we're reading in this bit is actually Matthew's testimony of how he came to meet Jesus. It is his story about him being called to come and follow Jesus. As Matthew was writing this book, he was thinking, what is a good story to show how merciful Jesus is? And he thought, I know, I will tell him about how he came and he called me. That's what's going on here. Have we all got it? Here we go, let's read. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's pray and ask God for his help as we listen to his voice. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are an amazing, glorious God. Please, Lord, would you help us to listen to you this morning, and would you transform us to be more like Jesus for your glory. Amen. So, I have a quiz to start us off this morning. Who is most important? Who is most important? So I'm going to put two pictures up and you've got to pick who you think is most important, and we'll add some actions in to get us here. So, Boris Johnson or a homeless man? Now, if you think Boris Johnson is more important, I want you to try and do his hair. So pretend that you're doing his hair. If you think the homeless man is, then put your head to the side as if you're sleeping. What do you reckon? So you think society would say that the homeless man is more important than Boris Johnson? Is that what you think society, do you think that is what the world would tell us? I feel like you know where I'm going on this already before I even start. Okay, let's try something else. Okay, here we go. We got Jurgen Klopp, who is the manager of Liverpool Football Club, and we have Liverpool Ball Boys. Who do you think is most important between them? If you think Jurgen Klopp, stick your hand in the air like that. If you think ball boys, just pretend like you're holding the ball in front of you. Who do you think is most important? You've gone with brilliant. Jurgen Klopp, that's who you think. Okay, how about these two? I need to get this name right. So this is the Right Honorary, the Lord Thomas of Quimgle. Lord Chief, that's somewhere in Wales. Lord Chief Justice of England and Wales, that's him, or a criminal. Who do you think is most important? So if you think the criminal is most important, hold your gun like he is. If you think the Lord Chief Justice is, try and just do this, like as if you've got the hair thing that he's wearing. Okay. I think we would agree that it was the Lord Chief Justice, isn't it, who is most important. As society would look on, he would say the Lord Chief Justice is most important. And this is the last one. Here we go. The Archbishop of Canterbury versus two old folk, retired folk, just two old retired folk. Who would you say society would think was, they're not in this church, by the way. who would you say was most important? Who would society say was most important? Who would society say, we really want them more than we want the other one? Who do you reckon? So if you want to do the Archbishop, do this. If you want to do the old folk, then maybe do this. So what do you think? Yeah, society would go for the Archbishop. We would most likely, if we were thinking who is most important, go for the Archbishop. Except for there is a young boy in this room who would strongly disagree, because that's my mum and dad, that's my children's grandparents. And if you asked my son, Daniel, who's just down here, who is most important, he would say Tickle Nanny Grandad is more important than the Archbishop. Because to him, in this comparison, it's more about relationships than about what you do. The person is more important than the status of who you are. And that makes a big difference, isn't it? If you change what you're looking for, but from what they do to who they are. And now we've just had a look at the question, who do you think is most important? But I think this question is even more important. Who is most important to God? Who is most important to God? And that is an impossible question to answer until we can answer this. What is most important to God? And in our story, have you got an answer for me? That's okay. Hold on to your answer and you can check if it's the same as what I think. In our story that we read earlier, we are told a story which shows us who is most important to God. And in that story as well, to help us understand, we are also told what is most important to God. Where did we see that? Well, it's in verse 13, and this is what the verse says. Go and learn what this means. That's Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And you know when Jesus says, go and learn what this means, it means that someone has misunderstood something. Someone's not quite getting it. And if you understand this, it will really help you. And this is what he then goes on to say. I desire mercy. Well, that stick, there we go. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That is the verse that Jesus tells the Pharisees, that is recorded for us so that we would understand what is going on, so that we wouldn't fall into the same trap as the Pharisees. If we can understand this, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, that will massively help us to understand these questions. What is most important to God? And who is most important to God? And so we're going to learn this as a congregation. Kids, you're going to help the adults to learn it. Adults, you're going to help the kids to learn it. So this is how we're going to do this. I'm going to say, go and learn what this means. Adults, I need you to then say, I desire mercy. Kids, you then need to say, help me, I can't help myself. Does that make sense? You just need to say, help me, I can't help myself. Does that make sense? So we're just going to start on that side for this morning. Are we ready? Adults, would you please help the little ones? Please. It'd be really bad if it's no one says anything. Right, are you ready? So go and learn what this means. I desire mercy. Help me. I can't help myself. Okay, I want a little bit more. I think there's a lot less children here. So if you are under 12 sitting somewhere else as well, have a go. If you feel like you're under 12, then why don't you help them as well? So let's try this again. Are you ready? So go and learn what this means.
I desire
help me, I can't help myself. Okay, help me, I can't help myself. I desire mercy. That is what God wants. But what does mercy mean? Well, mercy means to help somebody who can't help themselves. So imagine I was going out for a walk and I had a dog, and I was walking my dog, and I fell down a deep hole. I was hoping people would be more worried for me, but clearly no one is, okay? I fell down a deep hole, and I am stuck at the bottom of a hole, and I'm going, help me, help me. I try and climb out. I grab the sides of the hole, and nothing is helping. I am just stuck in that hole. I need help. I am completely helpless. I can't help myself. I need someone to come and show me mercy. That's what I need, isn't it? I need someone to come and help me because I can't help myself. Imagine another scenario. Okay, so maybe you'll feel more sorry for me in this one. Imagine there's a fire and I'm stuck in the fire and there's flames all around me and I can't get out. Okay, some of you still aren't very bothered about this. It's very upsetting. But imagine that. I couldn't get out. I was stuck. I needed help because I was completely helpless. That is what mercy means. It means to help those who can't help themselves. It's to help those who are in such trouble that they can't sort themselves out. That's what mercy means. And that is what God desires. God desires to help those who can't help themselves. That is what is most important to God, is to help those who can't help themselves. And at the center of our story is this guy called Matthew. Here he is. It's this guy here, right here. I'll put him up on the screen. It's the one sitting at the booth in the red. That is Matthew. And this story is all about him. And this story is a story about how he learned that God most wants mercy, that God most wants help for those who are helpless. And I'm going to stick him here just for the time being. Because in our story, it might not seem obvious to us straight away. But as we read through our story, we were introduced to Matthew, who was a tax collector. Now, a tax collector might not mean anything to you guys, but a tax collector was a despised, hated person. He was somebody that everybody wanted to avoid. They didn't want to hang around, not everyone. All the religious leaders didn't want to hang around with. They wanted to avoid, they wanted to push them over there. They wanted to get them out of the way. As the original readers read, Matthew was a tax collector, there would have been people who had gone, oh, I hate him so much. And I was thinking about who is like that today? Who would make us sort of feel really angry against? And imagine the story of, imagine you heard the story about a boy who was in another school, who constantly bullied this little girl, called her names, took her stuff, punched her, and every single night she went to bed and she cried and she cried and she cried. Every single morning as she got up and it was school the next morning, she would hide in her bedroom because she just didn't want to go to school because this bully was so mean. This bully was so horrible to her. This bully would take her stuff and she felt completely helpless. As a story that I read on the news this week and thought, oh, that sounds really mean. I don't like that boy. I really, really don't like him at all. There's another story more for the adults that was on the BBC website. It was a news clip about a scam call center in India. And basically, someone had hacked into their CCTV to record what was going on. It's worth a watch for anyone who wants to see it. But it was really interesting. There was this one bit where, so it's in this building. It's probably about 50 people on their phones, ringing people up. And in this one scene, basically what was happening, there was an old lady on the phone who was crying, saying, please don't do this, please don't do this. And about 10 cool people were surrounded around it, laughing at her. And the person on the phone just kept saying, if you pay us £1,250, we will let you have your computer back. And as I watched that clip, as I saw those scammers doing what they were doing to that lady, it made me angry. It made me really annoyed at what these people were doing to these other people. And that is the feeling that people would have felt towards Matthew. They would have been so angry at him. They would have really despised him. And the police would have done nothing about it. He would have got away with it. Imagine how angry people would feel towards him. But it's not just that. But he once, when he was born a Jew. So he was one of God's promised people. But he had decided that money was more important. He had decided money was more important than his brothers and sisters. He decided that money was more important than God. And he had decided that he was going to become a tax collector and turn his back on all of his family and all the Jewish brothers that he had. You see, as we read tax collector, we might not feel much, but as they read tax collector, they would have been filled with anger towards him. They would have been really, really angry at him. And even though he would have had lots of friends, we find that out later in our story, when it comes to being friends with God, he was helpless. As people looked at him, and as they were asked the question, who do you think is important to God? People would have gone, no, he's not important to God. He has done so much bad stuff. He has turned his back on God. He is such an outsider. He is not important to God. That's what they would have said. He was a traitor. He was despised. He loved money more than he loved his friends. He wanted to get rich over the rest of the Jewish people. When it came to being friends with God, he was going to be at the very back of the queue. And everybody knew that. Which makes what Jesus did really, really amazing. This man who everyone thought is hated by everyone, most likely hated by God, as Jesus walks past, Jesus says to him, come, follow me. As Jesus the Messiah walks past and looks at him at his tax booth, he says, I want you. I want you on my team. I don't want you to be an outsider. I want you to be an insider. I want to help you to be friends with God. As we read that, that is such an amazing statement that he wants to bring this man into his inner circle. He wants to show this man who is helpless when it comes to being friends with God, he wants to show him help. That is beautiful and amazing. And this should really make us happy because this truth is still true today. So are we ready to learn this? So I'm going to say it. So we need to go and learn what this means.
I desire mercy.
Help me. I can't help myself. Very well done. It's getting better. It is getting better. Because we need to learn this away as well. And this is great news for us because, boys and girls, we very often feel like we are outsiders. We very often think maybe because we lie, maybe because we get angry, we don't do what our mum and dad tells us, maybe because of so many things we do, we very often think that we could not be friends with God. We are too far from God. I am too helpless to be friends with God. Very often we fall into that trap. Very often we think that there is no way that God would be my friend. There is no way that God would pick me to be on his team. I am just not good enough to be friends with God. We very often fall into that trap. of thinking, I am helpless. But this is really amazing for us because God still desires mercy. God still desires to help you. God still desires to call those who are helpless onto his team. It's a beautiful story that should fill us with joy. And it's the same for us adults, because we very often fall into the same trap, don't we? That we think, I've done too much. I have done something which no one else knows, but God knows, and that is going to stop me being his friend. We very often fall into that, don't we? We very often feel that maybe it's not something that we've done, but maybe it's something that we do. And we think, do you know what, religion, God, and all of that, that's not for me. Maybe you struggle with same-sex attraction, and you think, God is just so far away from who I am that he would never want me on his team. There is no one too helpless that God can't help. There is no one too far outside that he can't bring inside. This is a beautiful, beautiful truth. And this is so much more than words, boys and girls, because it's easy to say something, isn't it? It's easy to say Jesus wants to show mercy, but actually, does he follow that through with his actions? And as we look at the cross, we see this truth that God desires mercy in full technicolor. We see it amazingly well because as Jesus died on the cross, he was showing that God desires mercy. He desires mercy more than Jesus' comfort. He desires mercy more than Jesus' fun and things like that. You see, as Jesus died on the cross, he showed that God and Jesus desires mercy more than anything. And we very often forget this, don't we? We very, very often forget this. And this is one reason why I want us to repeat this. We're going to repeat this quite a few times through this, through the rest of this time, because I don't want us to forget this. I don't want us ever to get to a point where we think, do you know what, I am too bad for God. I am too broken inside for God. There is something that is not quite right for me, and I can't be with God. I never want us to think that, because I want us all to remember this truth. Ready? Go and learn what this means. Help me. I can't help myself. That is brilliant. That is brilliant. And that's the first thing that we see in our story. But there's the rest of the verse here, isn't it? Which is not sacrifice. That's the rest of our verse. Okay? And so so we're going to do this all together. So I'll say, go and learn what this means. You say, I desire mercy. You guys say, help me. Help me. I can't help myself. And then adults, you're then going to say, not sacrifice, okay? And then kids, you're going to say, not me-me-me-si, okay? Like mercy, but me-me-me-si. Does that make sense? So mercy, me-me-me-si, okay? It will make more sense later. Don't you worry. I don't think you're really worrying, but don't you worry. Okay, so shall we try that? You kids, you know what you're going to say? Help me, I can't help myself, not me-me-me-si, okay? So, let's try this. Go and learn what this means. Help me. I can't help myself.
Not sacrifice.
Not me, 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 see. Let's try that one more time because that was quite slow. Anyway, go and learn what this means. Help me. I can't help myself. Not me, me. Let's hear more about our story, because what we saw is that Jesus walked past Matthew and said an amazing thing. He said, I want you on my team. You are not too far away from me. You are not too broken. I want you to come and join my team. He said that to Matthew. And then what happens is Matthew then goes off and gathers all of his friends together and puts on a dinner and invites Jesus along. And he says to them, I want you guys to meet a friend of mine. I want you to meet the most amazing person in the world. Come and have dinner with Jesus. It is absolutely awesome. He is absolutely amazing. And they all agree. And what we've read earlier is that Matthew puts a dinner on for Jesus, and many tax collectors and sinners came and spent time with Jesus. But there was a group of people who really weren't happy, and it's these guys, the Pharisees. They were not happy about something. They had an issue with what Jesus was doing. And what we read is that they go up to Jesus and they ask, well, they go up to his disciples and ask the disciples, what is Jesus doing? And it's not a question in terms of, we're really puzzled by this and we're really confused. Please, would you enlighten us and tell us? But it's more of an accusation. Have you ever asked a question accusingly? Don't you know that you're not meant to do that? You know, it's a question, but you're not really asking it as a question. You're being more accusing. And it's like that. It's a, does your teacher not know that he shouldn't be eating with tax collectors and sinners? Does your teacher not know the rules? Has he not known the rules that we shouldn't associate with dirty people like Matthew? That we should stay away from him? That we should try and remove him from our society? Get rid of him? Our life would be so much better if he was gone. That is what they say to Jesus. Don't you know the rules, Jesus? That you're not meant to be spending time with him, you're meant to be spending time with us. And actually, that question shows that they've got this the wrong way round. Now, they wouldn't have said it with their mouths, but actually what their hearts were saying is that God desires sacrifice and not mercy. That's what their lives were suggesting, because this idea of sacrifice is the idea of the rules, following the rules, making sure you follow the rules at all cost. And actually what they thought was the rules was more important than mercy. You see, this verse is from Hosea, a book in the Old Testament. And that is exactly what they were doing in the Old Testament. They were ignoring God, and all they wanted to do was follow the rules. They were using the rules so that people would look at them and see how amazing they were. They were following the rules and making the sacrifices so people would be like, look at me. This is all about me. This isn't about God. This isn't about anybody else. This is all about me. And that's what they were doing. They were making up rules. They were trying to follow the rules, and they were completely ignoring the mercy that God wanted them to show. You see, the rules are not there for us. The rules are there to help us love God first. You see, this verse actually doesn't say in its original that this is important and this is not important. It doesn't say that this is the all you need and you need to just completely ignore this. What this verse is saying is this is important and this is important, but this is more important than that. Does that make sense? They're saying that mercy, helping people, is more important than following the rules and just ignoring people. But that is what the Pharisees were doing. They were ignoring mercy and making it all about me, me, me. Can you see me? Can you see me following the rules? Can you see how amazing I am? Can you all see I'm brilliant, aren't I? Now, they weren't saying that, but the way they were acting was just like that. And they loved to hang around with people who were just like them, who wanted to make it all about themselves, wanting to make it all about the rules. And they had this the wrong way round. And so when Jesus comes in and says, you ready? Go and learn what this means.
I desire mercy.
Help me. I can't help myself.
Not sacrifice.
Not me, 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 see. He was trying to turn their thinking upside down. He was trying to transform them. And he does that with a story about a doctor. And he says a doctor doesn't come for the healthy. I've lost my clicker, it's right in front of me. A doctor doesn't come for the healthy, does he? A doctor doesn't come and visit the healthy. A doctor comes and helps those who are sick, don't they? A doctor who is healthy in himself isn't somebody who should be hanging around with other healthy people. A doctor who can help the sick should be helping other sick. So I've got a doctor over here. Obviously not a real doctor, but this is a doctor here. And where would you expect him to be? Where would you expect him to be? Where would you find a doctor, do you think? At a hospital? Yes, you'd expect at a hospital. Who else do you expect to see at a hospital? Sick people, don't you? And where else would you find a doctor? Where else? Yeah, in a special room at a doctor's surgery. That's where you would expect to find a doctor. Is that a doctor's surgery? And who else would you expect to find at a doctor's surgery? Sick people, wouldn't you? Would it be really strange if the doctor decided that he was just going to spend all his time at the gym? He was just going to spend time with healthy people. That's all he was going to spend time with. I'm just going to spend time with healthy people. I'm never going to see a sick person ever. That would be strange, wouldn't it? That would be really, really selfish. Imagine one morning you got a phone call from your doctor, and your doctor said, "Hi, how are you feeling?" And you said, "Yeah, I'm feeling really well, thank you." And he then said, "Oh, brilliant, I'll come and visit you today." You'd be like, well, for starters, you'd be like, uh-oh, what's happened? But that would be strange, isn't it? If you were well and you received a phone call from your doctor saying, "I want to come and see you," you'd think that's really weird. You'd think you've got this wrong. You should not be hanging out with the healthy. You should be hanging out with the sick. You should be helping those who are sick. And that is what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, Pharisees, you've got this the wrong way round. Pharisees, you have made it all about the rules. That is what is most important to you. You've not made it about mercy. You've not had this high on your list because it has only been about the rules. And he tells them a story to show them how selfish they are. They are like doctors who are just hanging around with each other. They are people who know God, know what his word says, and they're not helping others. And as I've thought about this, boys and girls, this has really challenged me this week. This has massively challenged me. How often do I get this the wrong way round? And I've thought about how often do I spend with those who are sin sick, as it would be, those who are struggling, those who need mercy. How much of my time do I spend doing that? And how much time do I spend reading my Bible and praying? Which are good things. They are really, really good things, but not if I'm neglecting this. If I'm completely ignoring helping those who need help because I'm just reading the Bible, I have got this the wrong way round. You see, Jesus has given us an amazing message that can help those who are sin sick. He has given us a message that Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment that we deserve, and hence he can make us better. He can make us friends with God, and he can get us into heaven. He has given us that message. He has given us that medication, as it would be, that we can give to those who are sick. That is what it looks like to show mercy to others. A friend of mine preached on this recently, and he had a phrase that we are to leave our sin, but not the sinner. When we become followers of Jesus, we are to leave our sin, but not the sinners that we spend time with. And as I thought about my week, as I've thought about this, I feel like I really need to go and learn what this means.
So,
help me. I can't help myself. Me. Exactly. I have felt that I've really had to learn this week. As I've thought about who do I spend time with, as I've thought about do I deliberately go with my medicine cabinet, as it would be, to go and help people by telling them about Jesus, how much do I do that in comparison to how much do I just want to follow the rules? This has been massively challenging to me. And funny enough, as I've thought about things, as an example of this, Sunday mornings, just before the service, the elders have a prayer thing in there. It starts at 9:30. I'm often in there at 9:30 on my own, while all the other elders are around talking to people, showing people mercy. And as I've thought about what I am doing, I've wondered, do I spend more time praying and reading the Bible, which are good things, which are really, really good things, and have I neglected what is most important to God? And I wonder if we have been like that as well as adults. Boys and girls, we fall into that trap all the time of thinking that reading our Bibles and praying and all these things that are really, really good things to do are the most important things that we are here to do. We are here to tell our friends about the good news of Jesus, what he did on the cross, and how he can rescue us. You see, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. How much does our lives show that? So I'm going to finish off by asking you the question that we started off at the beginning. Who is it that is most important to God? Who is it that God would prioritize if he was here with us now? Who is it that he would be spending all his time with if he was here today and this week? He'd be spending all his time with those who are lost, those who do not know Jesus, those who need help at coming to know him. That's what he would do. Why would he do that? You ready? Last time. Go and learn what this means. Help me. I can't help myself. Me, see. Brilliant. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're an amazing, glorious God. We thank you, Lord, that there is no one too broken. There is no one who has turned their back on you. There is no one too far away from you that you can't bring them into your kingdom, that you can't bring them into your team. We thank you for that glorious truth. We thank you for the truth that you desire to show people mercy, that you desire to help those who are helpless. And even today, you still desire that. Please, Lord, would you help us to have the same heart as you? Would you help us to be people who desire that as well? Not at the complete expense of reading our Bibles and praying and things like that. But would you help us to have this in the right order? Help us to be people who go out with our medicine cabinet to tell people about how brilliant and amazing you are. Be merciful to us. Give us strength and transform us to be more like Jesus. Help us for your glory. Amen.